At a party recently, a young man in a scarlet spotted tie came over and asked me, what did I do? Have you noticed that at far too many parties, strangers with or without scarlet spotted ties ask you not what you feel, nor what you know, never what you think, but tediously, mundanely and annoyingly, what do you do? Scarlet Spots, who was looking over my shoulder to see if any captivating celebrities were approaching, didn't seem hugely interested in my reply. But I told him anyway. I write, I said. Write? He seemed taken aback. Write what? I remained patient. Perhaps he was a scientist or a bus conductor. No, bus conductors are hugely curious about the reading and writing that goes on in their buses. Trust me, I use buses all the time. Books, I said to Scarlet Spots. I write books. Real books, he said. He looked vacant. No, fake, I replied, but he was almost out of earshot. He had already walked away muttering to himself, books, what can they do? Indeed, what can books do? It's a wonderful question. I was only 4 when I discovered that books could do almost anything, like the miracles they told us about at school. Books could change a child's life, books could calm a teenager's feisty spirit, or books could heighten their absolute need for rebellion. I read and read and read. I found, almost from the start, that what I read challenged my imagination and led me into entirely new worlds, all of them exciting. Over the years, as an adult, many books have inspired me. Some have altered my outlook. But there was one, just one book in particular, that transformed my attitude to life. When I was given the book, I was 4 years old, with straight black hair that never curled, and I didn't smile much. I was a small, sad child with a beleaguered background that had left me scared and anxious, a misery and a pessimist most of the time. The book was Winnie the Pooh, written by A. Milne in 1926. It's the story of a speaking teddy bear owned by Milne's son, Christopher Robin. That book turned my life round and showed me how to be an optimist. It was and is the funniest, most sunny-spirited book I've read. Pooh, the central character, a warm, friendly bear, is an incurable optimist. He's fun, cheerful, up for adventures, trustworthy and kind. He was like no one I'd ever met in the first 4 years of my actual life. Pooh's character, though unique, led me to wonder if there were other bears, or even better, if there were other people who were audacious, caring, reliable, and above all, positive. There was a humorous absurdity about my first meeting with Winnie the Pooh. A. Milne begins his book with these words. Once upon a time, a very long time ago, about last Friday, Winnie the Pooh lived in a forest all by himself under the name of Sanders. Christopher Robin, Pooh's human friend, decides to ask the narrator exactly what I wanted to ask. What does under the name mean? The ever-helpful narrator reliably informs us that it means he had the name on the door in gold letters and lived under it. Christopher Robin, grateful but as always ready to make Pooh the fall guy, says quickly, Winnie the Pooh wasn't quite sure. To make sure we were all sure, the wonderful artist Ernest Shepherd drew an illustration of Pooh sitting contentedly on a log outside his house in the 100-acre wood, while above his head are 2 signs. One does indeed say, Mr. Sanders. The other, written and misspelt, I assume by Pooh, says, Renig also, the wrong spelling for ring. Spelling preoccupies Pooh, who likes the idea of it, but who's forced to admit to his wise friend Owl, well, my spelling is wobbly. It's good spelling, but it wobbles, and the letters get in the wrong places. Spelling is definitely not Pooh's forte, nor was it mine at 4, nor at 14, nor at 40. Indeed, in my first job application letter to the editor of the News Chronicle and the Evening Star in Fleet Street the week before I left university, I told the editor why I wanted to write for his newspaper, and I spelt because the way I usually spelt it, which was B-E-C-O-S, because pure Pooh literacy. The editor, a compassionate journalist, rare in Fleet Street in the 60s, gave me my first job as a reporter on condition that I learnt to spell before my first month's pay was due. In the 60s, we had no Google, no spell checks, no computers, just ancient typewriters, and in the office, one tattered copy of the Oxford English Dictionary with its leaves falling apart. By the time the editor and I had both accepted that it would take many, many months' pay before my spelling was anywhere near satisfactory, his compassion was much strained. Pooh's quizzical friend Al, to whom Pooh goes when searching for answers to difficult questions, can spell, though not always correctly. He is proud that he can spell Tuesday. But Rabbit, Pooh's other great friend, whose life was made up of important things and who saw himself as clever, said firmly that, although you can't help respecting anybody who can spell Tuesday, even if he doesn't spell it right, spelling isn't everything. There are days when spelling Tuesday simply doesn't count. Pooh's world is filled with these sage comments about writing. Pooh's friends, including Rabbit, Piglet, Kanga, Roo, and Bouncing Tigger, know about the importance of writing from Christopher Robin. Pooh himself is a great advocate of writing through his hums and poems and musings about the creative process. The bear's belief is that poetry and hums aren't things which you get, they are things which get you, and all you can do is to go where they can find you. As a writer, I know exactly what he means. I don't go out and look for a story. A story finds me. Eeyore, however, the gloomy grey donkey who finds everything melancholy and who is Emil's most pessimistic character, is not a fierce proponent of writing. Far from it. Eeyore, who is exactly like the people in one's life who believe writing isn't a real job, insists that this writing business, pencils and whatnot, overrated if you ask me. At four, I was a little like Eeyore. Thoughtful, yes, but most of my thoughts were bleak. Pooh, on the other hand, also very thoughtful, constantly saw the positive side and was without doubt a bear with a philosophical bent. Join me as I watch Pooh and Piglet walking home thoughtfully together one golden evening. For a long time they are silent, then Piglet pipes up. When you wake up in the morning, Pooh, said Piglet at last, what's the first thing you say to yourself? What's for breakfast, said Pooh. What do you say, Piglet? I say, I wonder what's going to happen exciting today, said Piglet. Pooh nodded thoughtfully. It's the same thing, he said. Many years after the first Pooh book was published, Benjamin Hoff, in a book called The Tao of Pooh, brilliantly demonstrates how discussions in Pooh, like the one that caught my attention, are uncannily close to the ancient principles of Taoism. While Eeyore frets, and Piglet hesitates, and Owl pontificates, Pooh just is. Pooh often deprecatingly calls himself the bear of little brain, but in fact he's a bear with very bright ideas, which he summons up by putting his head between his paws and thinking about hopeful and positive things. In Pooh's world, fortunately, most creatures are friendly and upbeat. Rabbit's most comforting feature is that he often provides Pooh with a little something at 11, usually condensed milk with bread and honey. Pooh's habits became mine. I've never lost the habit of having a little something around 11 o'clock. Honey on toast is a must. I'm addicted to snacks. I also understand the miserable conflict one is in as a visitor. Should you visit a friend's house around 11 a.m., coffee and snack time, and they don't offer you either? It would be rude to ask outright, but not being offered makes a bear or a person grumpy. Occasionally, in this treatise of hope, Pooh sings a complaining song, but that is so much out of character that he soon realises such songs are foolish and deluded. And being a helpful and writing bear by nature, he writes a good hum that can be hummed hopefully to others. When I next see Scarlet Spots at a party, I shall tell him that is the message I took from the book. This is what books can do.